from Austin, live music capital of the world. This is Texas Music Matters. I'm David Brown. Great to have you join us. Coming up, new music by Willie Nelson as he prepares to celebrate his 80th year. Also, the campaign to raise money for an Austin-based orchestral rock group gets a kick in the pants from NPR. We'll tell you all about that. Plus, Robert Plant and Patty Griffin trade places in the spotlight. We'll hear them perform live in our own Studio 1A. Also, Billy Gibbons talks about the Moving Sidewalks reunion, plus the week's music news, This Week in Texas Music History, and lots of surprises. This week's edition of Texas Music Matters gets underway in just a moment. Stay with us.
Texas Music Matters is made possible in part by Lewis Shanks of Texas, offering fine home furnishings since 1945. LewisShanksFurniture.com.
From Austin, this is Texas Music Matters. I'm David Brown. We like to start out with new music, and whenever something new by Willie Nelson comes through our door, well, I'm sorry, that gets first dibs. Just old-fashioned that way. With the family band on a new album of reimagined standards, like this one, an old Spade Cooley number, something old and yet entirely new from Willie Nelson on Texas Music Matters.
Shame, shame on you. You took my heart as a token. When returned, it was broken. Turn your heart. Shame on you. Shame, shame on you. Shame, shame on you. You run around with other guys, tried to lie when I got wise. Foolish girl. Shame on you, little sister.
From the new album, Let's Face the Music and Dance, Willie and Family on Texas Music Matters. With Willie's 80th coming up, we'll be rebroadcasting our special Amazing Grace, the story of Willie Nelson, in this spot next week. If you haven't heard it before, hope you can join us for something special. Everyone knows Willie, but I bet you don't know Sonya Moore. Or maybe you do if you're of a certain age. In 1991, MC Hammer's Too Legit to Quit reached the top five internationally. Now, everyone knows MC Hammer. Nearly no one knows the Hey Hey Girl, much less that she's originally from Houston, Texas, now living in Austin. Back when she was a teenager singing backup professionally, MC Hammer took a shine to Sonya Moore.
What's your name? Where are you from? I told him, Sonya Moore, I'm from Houston. And he said, well, since you smile so much, Sonya Moore, we're going to call you Grin Grin. He then took us all back to the studio and we recorded what I know now, what the world knows now as Too Legit to Quit. I did not think that's what was happening at the time. I was 16, had no idea, like, we're in a real studio. I'm in here with Hammer, but I'm just thinking, you know, he's playing, okay, whatever. And so he throws me a crunch board. Mind you, he's on the floor doing crunches. He throws me a crunch board and he goes, so that's my first single. I'm giving you this crunch board because you need to get in shape. We're doing a video. James Brown is going to be in it, blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, my whole world just changed. I didn't know my parents had signed over guardianship. So like he was like my legal guardian until I turned 18 years old on his tour. So, did that, was able to go through the Hammer boot camp thing, the getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning, the not gaining weight. And if you gain weight, you got docked. Like he was a perfectionist and his show was, you know, the very first show that I ever did with him, we had to fly to Italy. So can you imagine being 16, wondering what the kids in the classroom doing? And you're like looking over the Mediterranean scene going, oh, I'm here, you know?
Nothing lasts forever. Hammer ran out of money. Sonya Moore retreated to the Midwest, had kids, told no one of her alter ego as one of the main singers and dancers for one of the biggest rap acts ever. But eventually, Sonya Moore would return to her native Texas with a hankering to get back in the game, work on her own solo stuff, sing backup when opportunities arose. And they did.
I was at Jim Eno's studio working with Brownout. Local group here, of course, Grammy Award winners, is like a spinoff of Grupo Fantasma. Great guys. Adrian Hay, work with him all the time, but great guys. And I left my car this time when I went. And I don't know, it was probably like 4 minutes. I forgot I left a card or anything. And so these guys just called me out of the blue. And it was like Mario from Chick, Chick, Chick. And he's like, hey, you know, are you that girl that's saying hey, hey on Too Legit to Quit?
The indie band Chick 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 was looking for a singer with that diva-esque quality. The result is something that sounds an awful lot like a nominee for Song of the Summer. Here's a sneak peek recorded in Austin at Public Hi-Fi. Chick 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 with Austin's own Sonya Moore on Texas Music Matters.
Never knew what it was about till I found. think about one, I think about you.
And when I hear that song, you know I'm on the gone. I think about one, boy, I think about you.
When I hear that song,
One Girl, One Boy by Chick Chick Chick, with Austin's Sonya Moore helping out on vocals. The new record is set for release in late April. You can catch him at Austin's Mohawk on May 25th. Once upon a time, people would talk about Mother Falcon as a band full of young musical prodigies. Well, not anymore. With a new album getting national media attention, one that's not even released yet, Mother Falcon, it seems, has come of age.
My name is Maurice Shema, and I play violin in Mother Falcon.
My name is Matt Puckett, and I play guitar and saxophone in Mother Falcon.
The first time I ever heard of Mother Falcon, you guys were, I think, largely sort of mentioned almost as a novelty act, as a bunch of young people who are, you know, under 18s, who were starting something new that was sort of orchestral, pop rock kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Now the band has obviously matured quite a bit, and you're getting a lot of national attention.
Well, the origin of the band really came at Westlake High School, where Nick Gregg, who's sort of the lead member, plays cello and guitar and sings. He was going to school and met some other sort of cellists, and after orchestra rehearsal, they would basically just get together and jam, because they were, you know, I think a little bit tired and uninspired by playing the same kind of classical music over and over in orchestra class. You said the word novelty. I think it was a novelty to us, too, because, you know, it was just something we did for fun. It kept growing because we would say, oh, I have this friend who's really great at, you know, bassoon. And then, you know, a bassoon player comes in. I think Nick met Tamir, who plays accordion, when he was busking on the drag one day. So for a long time, it was kind of novelty to everybody involved. We were all just kind of coming in.
The new membership seemed to plateau, and it was about 18 people at that point.
18 people.
Yeah. The membership will shift.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of always will.
NPR Music is now featuring your forthcoming album on its First Listen series. And it's such an influential music blog, NPR Music. It's not just that you guys are featured. Among the things that they say about Mother Falcon, that these are impeccable pop songs, that they sound like Arcade Fire at the most anthemic. I mean, that's some pretty high praise from guys who are not very hyperbolic in their writing. I mean, believe you me.
Gosh, I mean, it was just super thrilling when all of that came out. You know, it all started when Stephen Thompson over at NPR put one of our songs on his sort of list of, I think, 100 songs of bands to see at South by Southwest, and then he came to some shows. I think just to see other people light, I mean, we've always seen other people light up about that in the same way when it comes to audience members, especially in Austin, where the audiences have grown. But then just to see that, to realize that it's not just an Austin thing anymore and that it does connect with people sort of no matter where they're from, I think was... you know, just a learning curve for us.
Yeah.
The album is not quite out yet. Mm-hmm. Indeed, right. It's not completely paid for yet.
Right. Yeah. We've been raising money for the album on a site called Indiegogo, and it's a lot like Kickstarter, except that they do allow you to keep your funds if you don't quite make the goal. And so when we set it up, we kind of shot for the moon. you know, we set this big goal because we didn't really know. I mean, this is our first foray out into a lot of these things like touring, and then NPR happened, and I mean, it's kind of ticked up a lot.
It's ticked up quite a bit.
And what's very exciting about that is that, you know, up until that point, we were pretty sure that a lot of the people we were counting on donating were folks in Austin who'd seen us at shows, and friends of family and family members and all of that. And now I feel pretty sure that a good chunk of the donations that are coming in since First Listen are people that have never met us, which is absolutely thrilling.
Yeah.
Well, let's do a kind of first listen of our own here. We have a choice of any song on this new album.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, if you were introducing yourself to a group of new listeners, what song on this album would you play?
I would do Pink Stallion.
I would too. Pink Stallion's the first track, and I really lobbied a lot to have it be the first track, because I think it balances the two kind of major themes of the album, which are the sort of coldness and intensity. A lot of the songs are very sharp and hard-hitting, but then there's also a warmth to the sort of strings and to the vocals. And so I think that that song really captures it really well, and that's part of why we put it as first. So.
In Europe, I've got love. when she took me to the
That's from the forthcoming album by Mother Falcon, You Knew, to be released on May 7th. You can check out the sneak preview at nprmusic.org in the First Listen section. Coming up, the week's music news, a new track by Tax, the Boy Disaster, Billy F. Gibbons, and more as Texas Music Matters continues. From Austin, I'm David Brown, and this is Texas Music Matters.
I'm Gary Hartman with the Center for Texas Music History at Texas State University in San Marcos. This week in Texas Music History, we'll remember a band that waltzed into Austin music lore. Dolores Ferris was born Dolores Hanson on April 18, 1912, in Hutto, Texas. She began her musical career playing piano in her father's polka band. In 1931, Dolores married Lee Ferris, and in the 1940s, the two formed a group called Dolores and the Bluebonnet Boys. They became one of the best-known country dance bands in the Austin area and performed regularly at the legendary Skyline Club. Dolores Ferris led the band and composed many of their most popular songs, including Austin Waltz and the Fiesta Waltz. The group also recorded with such local musical icons as Kenneth Threadgill.
Seems there's something missing. I have a feeling in my breast. I crave to cover distance. Now me and mama give me rest.
Dolores and Lee Ferris stopped playing professionally in 1955. Dolores worked as a dietitian in the Del Valle school system near Austin until the 1970s. She died in 1993. Next time on This Week in Texas Music History, we'll meet the other ZZ of Texas Blues. This Week in Texas Music History is made possible in part with support from Humanities Texas.
With the Week in Local Music News, I'm Peter Mongelo of the Austin American Statesman, and this is the Austin Music Source. Guy Clark will release his first studio album in 4 years on July 23rd. Clark wrote the album's title track, My Favorite Picture of You, for his wife Susanna, who died in 2012. The longtime songwriter co-wrote 10 of the album's 11 songs.
My favorite picture of you is the one where you're staring straight into the lens.
Living on the road, my friend, what's gonna keep you free and clean?
More recordings from Clark's late friend Townes Van Zandt will also be released in upcoming months. Omnivore Recordings will reissue two of the influential songwriter's most popular albums, High, Low, and In Between, and the late great Townes Van Zandt. Both will be available on CD and vinyl on May 21st.
Hard times coming home now. Can't get your feet on the ground.
Finally, Central Texas songwriter Slade Cleaves is prepping a new album, Still Fighting the War, for release on June 18th. In the meantime, Cleaves has released the title track from the album as a single available for download on his website. Proceeds from the song, which addresses post-traumatic stress disorder, will benefit veterans organization Operation Homefront. For these stories and more, visit austin360.com. From the studios of Texas Music Matters, I'm Peter Mongelo of the Austin American Statesman.
Flashback to Fallujah, lost another best friend. Three tours of duty and you're wondering when it's all gonna end. Body's broken and bone shattered, blood and dust in your mouth. Getting weary but you're running with the few in the crowd. Sometimes you wonder why you went, you never wonder what you stayed on for. You've been home for a couple of years now, buddy, but you're still fighting the war. Men go off to war for 100 reasons. Why they all come home with the same demons. Some you can keep at bay for a while, some will pin you to the floor. You've been home for a couple of years now, buddy, but you're still fighting the war. The bedspread is fraying, faded and tearing apart. Two strangers holding each other in the dark. Tell me, what were you dreaming? How did you think it would end? Many heroes are scattered out into the wind, and all the happily ever afters turn to broken dishes and slamming doors. You've been home for a couple of years now, buddy, but you're still fighting the war.
New from the forthcoming album by Slade Cleaves, set for release in June, it is a stunner. Saturday, April 20th, a day of exclusive releases, live performances, limited edition reissues, and lots more at independent record stores all over the world. What's to celebrate? Well, as Texas Music Matters producer Heidi Mawagde discovered, it's an unlikely comeback for the independent record store.
It all started 6 years ago, in 2007, when a few independent record store owners and employees came up with an idea for Record Store Day. Dan Plunkett is co-owner of Austin's End of an Ear.
The main reason it came out of comic book stores doing Comic Book Day or Record Store Day. At first we thought, man, what a silly term. But it was just like, hey, we're here, we're still around, you know, we're still important.
Plunkett was right. The record stores are important. But 10 years ago, it looked like the record store was going the way of the dinosaur. Giant Tower Records had just gone bankrupt. Free downloads and iTunes made record stores seem redundant. MP3 devices and smartphones were quickly becoming part of the everyday culture. And Plunkett says he was hopeful that Record Store Day would make a difference, but few anticipated that it would become the annual event it's turned into today.
It's the busiest day for, I think, most every record store. Yeah, it's like 7 Saturdays. Yeah, it's just gotten busier and busier. And I think last year Waterloo had like a line of 300. We had a line of like around 100.
In 2006, sales of physical records fell to an all-time low of less than 1 million units. By 2011, sales had bounced back to nearly 4 million. And last year, vinyl sales hit another record high for the digital era, posting increases of more than 12%. That's not all, though. 67% of vinyl albums were purchased at independent music stores, stores like Plunkett's End of an Ear or Antone's Record Shop. Eve Monse has been with Austin's Antone Records for 11 years. She started shopping there as a kid and eventually began working at Antone's before becoming an owner. And in her time, she's seen firsthand what the vinyl revolution looks like.
We've definitely seen things come full circle. When I started working there, most of the people that were buying vinyl was an older crowd, more of a collector's crowd. CDs were the main focus, and that's changed. We do sell CDs still, especially local artists, but the vinyl has come back, and it seems that while people can download and will download, there's this subculture of people who want the vinyl, they want something tangible, and they want to be able to go somewhere where they can talk about music with other people who are also into it.
Monse's really hit on something there. People want something tangible, and that's what these record shops are providing to the Austin community. A place to celebrate and appreciate music. Again, End of an Ear's Dan Plunkett.
When I go into a bookstore, it's like, whoa, okay, wow, I forgot how much I love bookstores, or, you know, and you just get back into that. And so I just think that certain things that are substantive and have meaning to people, they're going to be around. And like, so people laugh and they go, people are still buying records since, you know, and it's like, yeah, you know, I think, I mean, not, it's never going to be like it was, but it's there's always going to be that audience.
Record Store Day will be celebrated at 700 independently owned record stores in the U.S. and in thousands of similar stores internationally. In Austin, I'm Hadi Mawagdi for Texas Music Matters.
Oh, Rocky Erickson's Mind, 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 one of the many limited edition vinyl releases getting snapped up on Record Store Day. Rocky Erickson's 13th Floor Elevators aren't the only influential 60s Tex rockers getting renewed attention these days. Just ask Billy Gibbons of ZZ Top. His earlier band, The Moving Sidewalks, just finished its first concert in 44 years in New York City, and they're now set to take the stage at Austin's PsyFest next week. Billy Gibbons joins us now on the phone from Houston.
What's going on, DB?
Hey, thank you very much for taking a few minutes out to talk with me about The Moving Sidewalks and everything. Why now? I mean, you guys recently had a terrific album with ZZ Top, and then we heard that The Sidewalks were back.
Yeah, it was rather exciting, although unanticipated in some measure. Our good friend James Austin, who started out as head of special products at Warner Brothers and then later went on with Rhino, called up out of the clear blue and he said, you know, he said, I've been hankering to get involved in a new project, and I was thinking I'd like to reissue the Moving Sidewalks record from 1969. I thought it was a rather ambitious undertaking, and I said, well, James, I said, it's quite a chore and quite a challenge, but you've got our blessing. It was really a labor of love come to life.
But it's one thing to put out a couple of CDs in a really nice package. It's another to get, you know, Dan Mitchell and Don Summers and Tom Moore and Billy Gibbons back into a room.
Yes, indeed. A promoter from New York tracked the drummer down, Dan Mitchell, and said, hey, you know, this guitar and drum thing, like the Black Keys and Jack White, seems to be catching on. Could you think I could get you and Billy to put something together, Moving Sidewalks wise? And he said, well, why not include all four? And the guy dropped the phone. He said, wait a minute, you guys are still in touch? And we said, oh yeah, we're pals. And that's what that's really the genesis. That's what started this crazy, this regathering. But it is a gas. It's really coming together.
So when you got back together, I mean, was it just like old times? Did everyone have to sort of clear their throats pretty big and relearn some of the parts?
Well, the irony was it didn't take 10 seconds to be in the time travel machine back to 1969 like we'd never left.
Wow.
It was really, when I say the guys can play, we're back functioning as the band that we were exactly then.
The show that you're going to be playing in Austin seems sort of tailor-made for a Moving Sidewalks reunion. It's Austin PsychFest, and it's led by the Black Angels, and they take a lot of inspiration from folks like Rocky Erickson. Indeed, I think Rocky's going to be playing the show.
Just to learn that Rocky's bringing a stamp of approval to the whole affair, just it tops it off. I met Rocky when I was 16. And the Elevators were busting out, and I just thought that their expression, their philosophy, was aimed in a direction that I certainly had no problem with. And we did a abrupt 180 degree right turn, kind of following in the path that they were braving, and it goes without saying that they're to be credited with repopularizing the term psychedelic in the first place. Between Rocky's voice and the whole band, John Ike Walton on drums, Benny Thurman was the original bass man, Stacy of course on guitar, and Tommy Hall on jug, it made for a unearthly sound, and they turned a lot of heads around.
Is this going to be the last appearance of the Moving Sidewalks?
The Sidewalks spent the weekend back in the recording studio. We've done, we completed five covers of the original tracks, and then the next wave will be five fresh compositions that we're putting together this week.
Man, so are these going to be your own compositions or collaborations with other members of the band or what?
Yeah, I think that we're aiming to just regroup in the studio and start knocking it around and letting it unfold as it may, we'll start peeling the onion to see what happens.
Well, you know, with the Black Keys and everything, just, you know, and Jack White doing his thing, it seems like this is, you know, it's the sweet spot. It's kind of, you know, all the clouds are coming together and everything. I mean,
it's true. It's kind of, when I say unexpected, it was certainly unanticipated, but however, once the wheels got turning, it's the momentum is picking up, and someone said, well, are your bandmates and ZZ Top a little nervous about this? And I said, no, as a matter of fact, they asked me for some free tickets for the Austin show. So everybody's having a good time.
That's very cool. Thank you again. Appreciate it.
Okay, talk to you.
Take care. Bye.
Bueno.
Moving Sidewalks Every Night, a New Surprise from 1969. We got an extended version of our conversation with Billy Gibbons on our Facebook page. Just look up Texas Music Matters. Austin's Tax, the Boy Disaster, have been off the radar for, let's just say, far too long, several years now. We're happy to share with you their return, something new, hot off the reels from Austin's Good Danny's East Side Studio. The song is called Painting Pictures in the Dark, and you're hearing it first on Texas Music Matters.
Whatever happens, baby, gotta do what is right. When you're wide awake in the middle of the night, say they all know better, got it all figured out. Might as well say that.
Don't wanna cause you a fall. But if I'm down, I'm down.
That's brand new from Tax the Boy Disaster. They have a new album coming out in a few months, and that's just a sampler. We'll be bringing you more as we get it. Coming up, Patty Griffin and Robert Plant caught live in Studio 1A as Texas Music Matters continues. From Austin, this is Texas Music Matters. I'm David Brown. It's an event when Patty Griffin joins us in Studio 1A. She's an incredibly gifted singer, songwriter with a global reputation. She recently teamed up with Robert Plant for his Band of Joy, but when Patty went back into the studio recently to work on her new album, American Kid, well, Robert Plant found himself in the backup vocalist chair. They joined our own Jay Trachtenberg in Studio 1A this week, and Plant still seemed to be adjusting a bit to this role reversal.
I mean, Patty's, when we were talking about singing alongside each other, it's been, without getting too cheesy, because I know Austin's pretty 2D when it comes to flattering people, you know, it's just amazing how many countless hours we sang next to each other. It was just such a trip because I didn't know how to sing the same thing twice. So when we were playing alongside each other, it was like quite a maze of, the learning curve was great. So for me now to have to follow her and sort of, I'm finding it very difficult, to be honest.
Well, Robert, what did you first hear in Patty that really caught your ear?
Adventure, really. mean vocal adventure, and I, for 40 odd years I'd never sung with another singer, you know, until I went to Nashville, and that was a dormitory experience, really. You know, I mean, the whole deal about being expansive was, it was quite controlled there. So by the time Paddy came along and Buddy suggested Paddy might throw some fairy dust, as the Trogs would say, onto the what we were doing, you know, I mean, it was really far out, because she could do and go absolutely anywhere and just risk it. And I think that's the land of risk. You can hear it, and or flexibility, and it's beautiful. I mean, so I rushed back from far away to do this.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Or perhaps not.
We didn't know he was going to do this until he got off the plane.
And here he is, and we're thrilled to have him here with us. His Studio 1A debut.
Yeah. It's just like the BBC. Yeah. Yeah. Not, there's some differences.
Patty Griffin, Robert Plant, and Craig Ross.
Meet me in the evening where the river is low. Meet me on the waters of the Ohio. No lines, no lines, the river is a river of love.
Patty Griffin and Robert Plant together in Studio 1A doing a song from Patty's new album, American Kid, Ohio, on Texas Music Matters.
Texas Music Matters is made possible in part by Lewis Shanks of Texas, offering fine home furnishings since 1945. LewisShanksFurniture.com.
Texas Music Matters is produced at the studios of KUT and KUTX in Austin. Our senior producer this week, Mr. Art Levy. On behalf of the entire Texas Music Matters team, I'm David Brown, wishing you all the very best for Lost in Texas.